Welcome in the name of Christ. God's grace, mercy and peace be with you. Good morning. May I wish you a very happy Christmas. I know this is only 3 days since Christmas Day, but we're still in the festival of Christmas. So I hope you've had a joy-filled day on the 25th and continue to have happiness as these days continue. Today is the 28th of December, as you well know, and the Feast of the Holy Innocents falls on this day. It's the day when we remember the massacre ordered by King Herod of all children under the age of 2 living in Bethlehem at the time of Jesus's birth. So there will be changes to some of my introductions as I will use those written specifically for Holy Innocents. So forgive me if you find me going off-piste. And in my sermon, I'll be reflecting on this massacre. We worship with Christians near and far, living and departed, old and young. God's word is for all of us. May it be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Lord, speak to us that we may hear your word. Move among us that we may behold your glory. Receive our prayers that we may learn to trust you. Amen. And the collect for this feast day of Holy Innocents. Heavenly Father, children suffered at the hands of Herod, though they had done no wrong. Give us grace not to be indifferent in the face of cruelty and oppression, but to defend the weak from the tyranny of the strong. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Today's reading is taken from St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 13. Now, after the Magi had left Herod, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfil what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. As I said at the beginning of this service, only 3 days ago we were celebrating the birth of Jesus. 3 days later, we're thrown into the violent massacre of all the children under the age of 2 who lived in Bethlehem. It feels a bit strange because events from a liturgical point of view have been compressed into a few days when the time period was actually a bit longer. Herod ordered this massacre as a result of the visit of the Magi. And the Magi didn't visit for possibly up to 2 years after Jesus had been born, because they had travelled following a star in the east where they lived, and that star appeared on the day Jesus was born. So you have to allow time for the Magi to travel. And of course, the church celebrates the visit of the Magi at Epiphany on the 6th of January, which is after the 28th of December. So it seems all a bit funny and messed up. But this is how the liturgical year has been set out. But what this massacre demonstrates is that the coming and presence of Jesus always elicits opposition. Historically, did this massacre of the children in Bethlehem actually happen? Matthew, the gospel writer, certainly reports it as happening. But Matthew also drew on prophecies from the Old Testament in his writing as well. So he might, but I don't believe he does in this instance, he might have been using the prophecies rather than having absolute concrete evidence that this massacre actually happened. It's a bit of a grey area. Josephus, a reliable historian of the first century, makes no mention of this massacre, but he makes no mention of other historical facts that other historians recorded. So another way in might be to study King Herod's character and personality. What we do know is that King Herod was renowned for regularly ordering purges where hundreds of people were murdered the moment he felt his position as king was threatened. He cultivated a culture of fear. He even killed his wife and children. One historian suggested it was safer to be Herod's pig than being his son. The Magi had told Herod that a new baby had been born who was to be the king of the Jews. And that just destabilised Herod and he went wild. For as far as he was concerned, there could be no king of the Jews except Herod himself. No two kings in one kingdom. This young pretender had to be killed off. The Magi had been warned not to return to Herod and tell him where Jesus was staying. So Herod didn't know where to find Jesus. So instead, he decided to order a massacre of every child under the age of two who lived in Bethlehem. But God can't be thwarted. An angel appears to Joseph in a dream, telling him to escape and travel to Egypt immediately to escape from this massacre. Another thing to add, Bethlehem was a small rural place with a population similar to or less than the population of North Nibley. The percentage of children under two would have been 2-3% of the population at the most. So the number of children killed might not have been significant enough to warrant a historian recording it. On balance, and with the evidence we do have, it seems perfectly possible that this massacre did take place. And this massacre is a horrific telling of a battle between the ultimate good, God, and evil. Let's think a bit about the people involved and how it can relate to us today. In the first chapter of St. John's Gospel, which we usually hear on Christmas Eve at the midnight service, we read that God sent Jesus to us and many people didn't accept him. That started from almost day one. As we read the Gospels, we see Jesus being rejected, not listened to, and plotted against all the time. And we know he eventually was condemned to being killed by dying on a cross. Herod wasn't going to receive him. As far as Herod was concerned, he had to be annihilated. Herod was so insecure and so evil, his language was to lash out and kill. But how many world leaders do we see today and in the past doing that? Stalin, Hitler, Pol Pot, Putin. And then we have the parents of all those children under two. Can you imagine hiding their children, willing that they didn't make any noise, when Herod's soldiers came banging on the doors and entering houses and hunting down the children and then grabbing them and killing them. Children being ripped out of parents' arms. Parents seeing their beloved children being battered to death. Just imagine the agony. It's like evil running wild. But today, Save the Children Fund estimates that 20,000 children have been killed in Gaza since October 2023. In Ukraine, it's estimated 3,000 children have been killed in bombings and violence, and we don't know how many children have been forcibly removed from Ukraine and taken into Russia or Belarus. Then we have other child abductions in war-strewn areas, children being wrenched from their homes to become soldiers, and these child soldiers kill and are killed. Young people and children being knifed to death in the streets of this country. This country. What is happening to humanity? Matthew tells us that Jesus fled to Egypt with his parents. They became refugees, migrants. I wonder what sort of reception they received in Egypt because they were foreigners. And the Gospels record absolutely nothing about Jesus' time in Egypt. We just don't know what his experience there was like. But we know, or at least we hear a lot about migrants these days because they come to our shores. They drown in the English Channel. They stay in hotels. Sadly, some of these migrants are violent. Many of the migrants have been trafficked by unscrupulous fraudsters. Many are desperate to escape persecution in their home countries and have paid their life savings in the hope of a better and safer life. Tragically, among those migrants come criminals that turn our hearts away from migrants because in our minds we tar them all with the same brush. And then there's climate change that's forcing people to move from their too hot or too flooded homelands. And that's only going to get worse. Christians fleeing persecution. Jews now fleeing persecution. We can't close our eyes to it. What do we do? How do the governments of our country and those other countries around the world deal with migrants who are fleeing for a better life? Wouldn't we seek refuge elsewhere if we had to? Mary, Joseph, and Jesus hoped for a safer life in Egypt, and we hear that eventually they returned to Nazareth in safety. When we see migrants and refugees, do we see the face of Jesus in them? If we're all made in the image of God, they will bear the face of Jesus as we're supposed to see the face of Jesus and bear the face of Jesus. Do we see the face of Jesus in our friends and even more importantly, in strangers? All these inflammatory words, the vulnerable, the homeless, the trafficked children and adults, migration. Very complex international decisions have to be made. It's not simple. Nations need to work together. So much migration is caused by war and hatred like Herod sponsored. We look on in the safety of North Nibley, or we hope it's safe. But the world seems a dark place. What does God see? What might God be saying to us? Darkness can be frightening because we can't find our bearings within it. The story of Christmas tells us that God came to dwell in darkness. God came to dwell in the place that was frightening, in a place of rejection, of poverty, of insecurity. God came in the darkness and brought light. God does not just dwell in the beautiful, shiny places. God dwells in the dark places, ready to walk with us, guide us, and comfort us with the light of his presence. God calls us to bear the Christ light and go into those dark places when those times come to us. And what else can we do? Well, we can pray with all our might, which we'll do in a few moments. Amen. Do we come to affirming our faith and declaring our faith in God? We believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We come to our confession where we're praying for forgiveness. On this day, when we recall the murder of innocent lives, let us stand before our just and holy God, remembering the violence and injustice of our world, and confess our sins in penitence and faith. You are the God of the weak and the vulnerable. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. You judge the tyrant and the cruel. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. You wipe away the tears of the brokenhearted. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. We come to you, Lord, bringing all our failings, the times when we've thought or said or done cruel things, when we've made judgments about people in ignorance, when we have not supported the weak and the vulnerable. Lord, forgive us and heal us. May God, who loved the world so much that he sent his Son to be our Saviour, forgive your sins and make you holy to serve him in the world through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In our intercessions, I will say short sentences and leave space for you to add your own prayers. In peace, let us pray to the God of love. Righteous God, your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, dwelt among us and shared our grief and pain. We pray for the children of our world, that they may grow up knowing love and security. We pray for all children who suffer physical or mental abuse. We pray for all communities in our world who live with the memories of massacre and gross cruelty. We pray for all who are corrupted by power and who regard human life as cheap. We pray for parents who have suffered the death of a child. We pray for parents, guardians, foster parents, and any others who care for children, that they may be given grace to care for the children entrusted to them. As we celebrate the coming of the Christ child, we rejoice in the fellowship of the Holy Innocents and commit the children of this community, our nation and our world to you, our righteous God. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We move on to the peace. The Lord says, I will comfort you as a mother comforts her child, and you shall be comforted. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Our final prayers. Faithful Lord, whose steadfast love never ceases and whose mercies never come to an end, grant us the grace to trust you and to receive the gifts of your love, which are new every morning in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God, who gives life to the dead and comfort to the desolate, sustain you, keep you and console you. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Be in peace to love and serve the Lord. in the name of Christ. Amen.